eyeing a caged snake the color of spearmint. Describe her.
Don't have to, do I? Don't they all look the same?
Don't who all look the same? He laughed, louder this time, as if he found my ignorance hysterical.
The mendicants, of course. Seen one, seen 'em all.
I looked at him in horror. I had made a call to the mendicants the day after I arrived in Chasm City. I was trying to reach Sister Amelia, to ask her what, if anything, she knew about Quirrenbach. I had not been able to get through to her, had instead spoken to Brother Alexei and his black eye. But I had been told that she was as interested in seeking me as I was her. The remark had not meant much at the time, but now it detonated in my skull like a star shell. Sister Amelia was the woman with Tanner. Zebra's contacts had not even hinted that the woman was from the mendicant order. The snake seller, on the other hand, was sure. Maybe I was wrong in assuming that the other woman was always Amelia, but I thought otherwise. I figured she had to be slipping in and out of disguise, either deliberately or because she just wasn't thorough enough in maintaining whatever new identity she had concocted. What was her part in this? I had trusted her implicitly after my revival. I had allowed her to help my mind heal after the identity-shattering processes of reefer sleep, and in the whole time I had spent in the mendicant habitat, nothing she had done had given any hint that my trust was anything other than well-placed. But how much did she trust me? Tanner, the real Tanner, might have come through Hospice Idlewild after me. He must have come through on the same ship from Sky's Edge, his revival delayed a little after my own, just as my own had been delayed a little after that of Rivage. But I had already used the name Tanner Mirabel, which meant that Tanner had to be travelling under an identity other than his own. Unless he wanted to sound screamingly insane, his mind pulverized by adverse reefer sleep trauma, he would not have advertised his real name too quickly. Better to keep up the lie and let the mendicants think he was someone else. It was getting confusing. Even I was getting confused. I tried not to think how this must look to Zebra, Chantrell, and the others. I was not Tanner Mirabel. I was something else, something hideous and reptilian and ancient which my mind recoiled from, but which I could not really continue to ignore. When Amelia and the other mendicants had revived me, I had been travelling under Tanner's name, and I also carried what appeared to be his memories, skills, and, more importantly, the knowledge of his immediate mission. I had never thought to question any of it. Everything had seemed correct. Everything had seemed to fit in place. But all of it had been false. We were still talking to the snake seller when Zebra's phone chimed again, a noise almost lost in the ceaseless susurration of rain and the hissing of caged reptiles. She took the phone from her jacket, staring at it suspiciously without actually answering it. "It's coming in on your name, Pransky," Zebra said, "but you're the only person who knows that number, and you're standing right next to me." "I think you should be very careful before answering that call," I said, "if it's from who I think it is." Zebra cuffed the phone open, Pandora opening the lid of her box, fearful of what might lie within. Speckles of rain dimpled the screen, like a parade of tiny glass beetles. Zebra lifted the phone to her face and said something quietly. Someone answered her. She said something back, her tone uncertain, and then turned her face to mine. "You were right, Tanner. It's for you." I took the phone from her, wondering how something so innocent could contain so much evil. Then I looked into a face which